The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them a parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that belongs to me.' So the father divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in this dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. The young man would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then the elder son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered to his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat, so that I might celebrate with my friends.' But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. he was lost and has been found. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. We have all the readings today linking together with a very strong and profound idea. The readings of the first reading begins by saying, at least the passage today begins by saying, the Lord said to Moses, the Lord, the Creator, said to Moses, the man, the created. The Creator said to the created, go down at once, your people, it wasn't Moses who decided to go to Egypt and free that people, your people. The Creator speaks to the creature, to the created, and says, your people. It's no longer my people. I will be your God and you will be my people. No longer that. The Creator says to the creature, go because of your people, the other creatures with you. Go at once, your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt. Moses brought the people out of the land of Egypt. It's God who brought them out, but they're no longer God's people. The Creator has now decided that that people is not the creatures that He wanted. They were, they are not. Your people have acted perversely. This is the key word. Perversely. They became perverse. They deprived themselves of the Creator. I stop there for a minute because we need to do something. I have a homework for you. You see, we're here to come and listen. But it's not that we just listen without any purpose. The first reading is telling us about Exodus. The second reading is telling about St. Paul. And we have to identify ourselves in St. Paul. We have to identify ourselves in the people of God that now are no longer God's people. Because they deprive themselves of the Creator. And that's why God says, your people. And the Gospel is giving us the last parable. We can use the first two, but all of them are showing the one very important thing, which is that we needed to be saved. If we don't keep that in the back burner, in the front burner, and the left and the right burner, God is going to speak to us about us the way God spoke to them, to Moses, about them being not longer the people of God, but Moses' people. We, just like the people of God back then, although now are the people of Moses, they are perverse. They deprive themselves. And the next part of the lines of the gospel, of the scripture, is going to give us the meaning of how they became deprived. But going back to what I mentioned about the homework is this. Being deprived from God, which is going to be clarified soon, is moving away from God. Have you noticed when you're washing the dishes, as soon as the liquid soap, touches the greasy liquid, it runs away? Water and oil do not mix. Divinity and perversity do not mix. They just don't. We can say, yes, we all have been born with original sin. We have been baptized and sin, this original sin is gone. But afterwards, we have deprived ourselves of God's divinity, of God's grace, of God's presence. And just like when the liquid soap reaches the greasy water, it runs away, so does the grace of God runs away when we commit sin. Sometimes we say, oh, it's a little lie, a white sin. Really? So that means that it's okay to sin? We are saying that. And I'm not saying you are saying that. But where is God saying that it's okay? We deprive ourselves. And what's so dangerous is that the venial sins are more dangerous than the mortal sin, in as much as because this, we think, we decide that it's okay, we commit numerous venial sins that will lead us to mortal sin. We become perverse in our lives, in our acts, in our thoughts. I will continue, but let me just say this one last sentence regarding that. You see, when God called Abraham, He called Abraham, and every single thing that God told Abraham had a commandment in it. He said, go. I will show you the place. Abraham went. And then when the people gathered and the increasing number, he said, build me a house of prayer. By these measurements, in this design, with this style, and in this type of material, by these dimensions, and in this location, geographically, and pointing to the east. Every single was detailedly said by God. Commandment, commandment, commandment. And what happens to us today? We feel that it should be this way, and I'm not saying people here, I just speak this way because it's easier, at least for me. But do we ever say, well, I would like it this way, and you like it that way, and we all seem to like it this way. But it's not our home. It's not our backyard. It's not our garage. It's not our park. It's not our recreational center. It's a house of God. Authority, ownership. There was a group of people in the parish I was before, and they wanted to put curtains on the windows. And I heard them with all my patience and everything that they said, and in the end, finally, they had exhausted everything they wanted to say about curtains on the windows. And I said, but my dear people, when this stopped being a church of God, we never decided to put this type of windows. We don't decide how things should be. I don't want my home to be this building. It's a building of God. Then we have to decorate every pew we are in, and we just say, this is my pew. And I painted blue, and I painted green, and I put this, and I... No. We are a people of God. We don't want to be the people that deprive themselves of God. Let me continue. They have been quick at turning aside from the way that I commanded them. Look how clear it is. They turn quickly away from the way that I commanded them. I am the way and the truth and the life. And they cast off themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods of Israel. Do we perceive how quickly they just became a case of amnesia? Didn't they just walk on dry sod in the middle of the sea? Didn't they see the big fiery cloud to protect them and warn them at night? And the big cloud to shade them during the day in the desert? They just forgot all of that? But Moses interceded for them. Okay, let me wrap this up. Today we celebrate the 24th Sunday Ordinary Time. It's the time that we come to deepen our faith. It says ordinary time. Doesn't mean optional time. You know, ordinary time is when we, just like the fatted calf, is when we strengthen ourselves. For what? For the feast to come. Advent is coming. Advent. The Advent of Advent. We are in the Advent of Advent. Advent is coming because Advent is a preparation for Christmas. But we need to prepare for Advent. We need to be strengthen our faith. We need to deepen our faith, understanding that we are not in our own personal, individual, particular houses. It's the house of God. And that we here have a sense of eternity. Of eternity. That's why the buildings are in this way and they have to be in this way. And it should be even more than this. So that we can be inclined to think not about the world and not bring it in here, but that we reject that because this is the only means by which we can come and leave the past behind and live in the present, live in God. And so we ask in today's Mass, as our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us in the Gospel, that He has come to the lost, to free us from the slavery of sin, to bring us back to life, life in grace. Not in sin, not in pride, in humility. Because when Jesus Christ comes, if we allow Him to come in our hearts, He will transform us. And we will become virtuous, the people of God. No longer to Moses, your people. But God with great joy will say, you are my people. And I am your God.